But did you wake up this morning with your mind, like I said, on everything else besides the Lord? Well, that's your choice if you did. But if you didn't, then you're going to get something today. This is not a wasteful time. We don't have time to waste time. We do not have time to waste time. This is a trying time. I know that. I know it's a time, Lord, that, you know, we don't know this or that or the other. And but we know that one thing's for sure. If we'll do what the Word says, He'll give us power to overcome everything that the devil throws at us. Doesn't matter what he throws at us. You have something to fight him with. Amen? I hope you want to do that. Sometimes I think we like the devil playing with us. I don't like that guy playing with me. No. I don't either. I want him to go somewhere else. Give somebody else a fit. Leave me alone. And we'll do that if the Lord will permit that we just get inside that pavilion, as the book of Psalms tell us. Lord, hide us in your pavilion. Hide us from the storms of life. Hide us from what the devil's got coming. He'll hide you if you'll let him. Amen. Let's remember announcements real quick. Everybody appreciate Brother Ryan doing the opening of the service and just that little calm way of approaching everything, and he does a good job. Remember that Brother Aaron will be preaching Wednesday night. That Bob and Luis are there's a few things I think Christine's put online. If you want to go to that link, I think it's in WhatsApp and Facebook, if you want to go there and watch some of the things that's going on. Youth service will be not this coming Saturday, but the next Saturday, which will be the 28th at 3 o'clock. Brother Darrell Ward will be with us, and we'll have one service on that Sunday and not an afternoon service. All right? Remember, February the 11th, the Valentine's Banquet. Please sign up downstairs. Need to do that several weeks. We only got 4 weeks. All right, so several weeks before we need you to sign up so we can figure out what we got and who we got coming. And we sure appreciate the ones that's already done the work. Anna and Lisa and different ones that's already done some of the work. And we pray that that some of you will help, if you will, there. And because we're going to have a bigger group than we used to have. So, but it will be fine. Everything will be well. Make sure you put on your best. Wear you some good dress-up clothes, because you're going to have pictures. I forgot to mention that. Is Olivia still doing it? Sister Olivia is taking pictures for us starting at 4 o'clock, just like we always do. For those of you that have not come before, we will be taking pictures at 4 o'clock at the barn there at Hidden Acres. All right, so that will be at 4 o'clock sharp. Start taking pictures, all right? Then we will continue on with the night. Please sign up. Remember, March 24th, we have a wedding. Make sure you RSVP if you're going to go. And that will be in Beaufort, South Carolina, for Sister Esther and Brother Micah Curtis. So continue to meet with Sister Frieda. I just talked to her. She's feeling better. So praise God for that. She has good days and bad days. But this is a good day, all right? And even in the bad days, she still has a good day. Good positive attitude, and we appreciate that. We miss her here at church, so we pray that she'll be able to get better and come on. So keep all these things in the prayer. Keep the Holsey family in prayer with Kip. They're having to make a decision tomorrow. I think they're still going to do that tomorrow, make a decision. So just keep praying. God, I was telling them last night when we were praying for walk in that room and you look at that gentleman laying in the bed with, 20 tubes sticking in different places all over him, that don't mean one thing to God. Not one thing to God. That doesn't mean we've seen it worse. We've seen them almost dead and they'd be brought back to life. So that doesn't mean anything to God, and it shouldn't mean anything to your faith. We need to look past that. Look past that to where that God can heal in a moment, or he can heal over time. Doesn't matter. He's still the healer. And we appreciate God for being the healer, because, man, I tell you what, as I get older, be 63 in a few days. Yeah. Even come quickly, Lord Jesus. I'm telling you. It's the effects of the curse is on all of us. So, and you young ones, you'll realize that. Esther's going, what is he talking about? Ask your mama. Ask your daddy when he gets back and wants to sleep for about 3 days, and you tell him he tells you to leave him alone because he's tired. Yeah, that'll be the effects of the curse. But you know what? We're here, I thought, to break the effects of the curse. So there's a provision somewhere in here, in this message of the hour, that's going to break that curse. It's going to break that cycle of life and death, life and death, life and death. Because I thought we've already passed from death unto life. If we've already passed from death unto life, we've already passed it. All right, so let's just realize that's what God's wanting to get us to see now in what we're talking about in this series on the Son of Man. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. I think that's all the announcements for right now. We will be having Bible study this next month in February, the first Saturday, and then communion the first Sunday. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you for the day that you've given us. We love you, Father, for the things that you've given us. Lord, sometimes we don't sit and think. Maybe sometimes we ought to go, as one of the prophets did, and go sit under a tree and just let you speak to. Lord, that still small voice spoke to Elijah, Lord. Speak to us today, Father. Let it be a still small voice way down deep inside where Satan can't get to it. And Lord, just tell us of the goodness and tell us of the promises that you've given to your bride. Lord, I pray that you'd be the ones that are sick, Father, the ones that are sin sick, Lord. I pray that you'd touch their soul, Lord, light a fire under them, Lord. And I pray that you'd light a fire under us, Lord, that you'll, Lord, there'd be a revival start out of revelation. And Lord, today we talk about knowledge. Father, the knowledge of the Lord will fill the earth, the sea, and sky. Father, you're so much greater than any scientist. We hold people in up on pedestals, as we say on earth, as Einstein and all the different ones that have seemingly broke into the great realms of science. But Lord Jesus, we know the one that created science. Lord, the one that created all these things is living inside of us today. Now, Lord, I pray that just for a moment that you'll break back our humanity and that you'll let us, Lord, see you in a moment. Because one moment in your presence is better than anything in this world has to offer. Father, we pray that you just bless us now, take care of us in the furtherment of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's continue where we were at this morning. We'll skip a little bit through there to get to knowledge. This will be part 84. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So that makes it personal. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Among us. All right? Because I'm going to read you scripture that I read this morning, and it seemed more real to me today than it did yesterday or a few minutes ago than it did this morning. Joel said, I will restore unto you. I never read it like that before. He said, boy, preacher, you're kind of, well, I'm a little slow. I'm a little slow. But he said, I will restore unto you, just like he said in Malachi 4. Behold, I will send you. Elijah the prophet. So he's going to restore me. I will restore you to you all these things. So we're going to have a restoration. Brother Brown preached the restoration of the bride tree, and that's what we're looking at, really. The restoration of the bride tree was a kind of a overlapping of the statue of perfect man. So the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You can go ahead and be seated, and the Lord adds blessings to the reading of the Word we were talking about this morning. We'll just cover a little bit more about this, about adoption. I hope that we see that adoption is not your birth. Adoption is your placing. So it's two different things, but they connect. Everybody with me? I don't want you to start sleeping already. Hey, everybody get a fan. There you go. Everybody get a fan. And we know you fall asleep when your fan goes flying out of your hand. So... And then it hits your neighbor, wakes them up, and you see if they have brotherly kindness or not. What a way to do it. Thank you, Richard. Brother Aaron's not here to do it, so you can stand in for your brother. Yeah, thank you, Brother Richard. Thank you, Brother Richard. He can play a bass, but he can sure work that thing right there, too. All right, Genesis 2:8. We're going to talk about knowledge. We're going to talk about two types of knowledge. We've been wanting to get to it for a long period of time. And out of the ground made the Lord to grow every tree, talking about regular botany life. But now he's talking about a tree of life in the midst of the garden, or the middle, or as we were looking at on that chart, as the center. That's where God wants to rule. He wants to rule the center. He wants to be the center of your life. He wants his life to be in the center of your life, all right? He does not want you just to have an anointing, or do you have feel good, I believe that up to a point. That's not the way he wants. He doesn't want us to believe it up to a point. He wants to believe every word of God that proceeds out of his mouth. But there had to be a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Brother Branham, one time he called it, he said it was the law of contrast. Because remember, without darkness, light, you wouldn't know what the difference was. But then if you bring light in, darkness goes away. If you bring darkness in, that means there's not light there. So there has to be a contrast. There has to be good and evil. Because remember, this tree of knowledge has good and evil both on it. All right? Now, tree of life doesn't deal with knowledge as man's knowledge. This isn't man's knowledge because, listen, to be honest, Satan does not have, he has knowledge, but he doesn't have Holy Ghost knowledge. Okay? He can't because he don't have the Holy Ghost. He has an anointing knowledge. He has a knowledge that he can make you do things. He can make the world do things. He can have the world make what? Make plastic? When I was growing up, there wasn't such thing as plastic bottles. They couldn't make them. There was no way to make them back then. Now look, they make billions of these things all the time now. And they just pour water in it and make everything. They have that, I can't remember, but it's called some kind of mold. But they make any kind of, if you can make a mold for it, they can make something. But see, that wasn't back in the 60s. It was all, what, tin cans. You know, we used to kick the tin can. I wonder what we'd do if we had to kick the plastic cup. Don't kick them very far, but man, you kick a can, you kick it from here to the door if you needed to. But that was because everything was made with tin cans. Well, man came to a knowledge of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and he began to say, hey, I think I can make a mold that will hold water. I think I can make a mold. I know Donnie does, and I remember it too. All of our cars, man, 55, 56, 57 Chevrolets and different things like that, they didn't have any plastic in them. It was metal. Everything was metal. Door handles, knobs. It was all metal. Why? They didn't have the technology to make the plastic mold injection molding. That's what I was trying to think of. Injection molding came along, and now they can mold anything. Well, let's go a little higher than that. Now man has done what? He has now took a computer along with a printer, and instead of printing stuff flat, they print it 3D. Josh has got a couple of them. That's what he made the little Statue of Perfect Man thing that he gave us. It's a three-dimensional printer. They took the same printer that we have that gives us flat copies, and it makes whatever. They make guns with those things now. But now remember, there's nothing new under the sun. The computer was back in the Garden of Eden. The car was back in the Garden of Eden. Injection molding was back in the Garden of Eden because the plastic was back there. It was just in minerals. But what did it take? It took man to do what? Bring that back together. Bring it together in another form and make a car. And then he makes a car that used to weigh, what do old cars used to weigh, Donnie? 5,000 pounds, something like that? Well, they weigh now about 2,500. They don't weigh much. I mean, even you come into aluminum, you got aluminum motors now, you got aluminum this, and you got all these things that are enhancing our life. But remember, this tree of knowledge of good and evil, what we eat off of it kills us. The more cars we put on the road, the more chance you got to have a wreck. The more guns they make, the more chance you got to get killed. And they make some vicious stuff now for war that you really don't want to be around here when they unleash all that stuff that they're going to unleash. You don't want to be here. Well, it came from the tree of knowledge of good and evil because man thinks he can get smart enough that he can survive. That these billionaires can build these bunkers or they can. Why do you think all these rich folks are trying to get to Mars and trying to get to the moon? They want to escape what's going to happen here. They want to be able to have just a little sliver of hope and be able to go to another world where God told us through a prophet that you got enough inside of you right now to go build a whole world and go live on it. Yet we want to lean to, well, we might make it if we get to Mars. Yeah, well, you'd be about 500 years old when you get there, so it's not going to be worth it anyway. Man's still going to get older. You know, them people are, I'm sure that, and you know, I was thinking the other day, all the great people that's lived, but you take somebody like Steve Jobs that created Apple. He spent billions of dollars to try to live just one more month. To try to live just one more moment. Didn't do him a bit of good. He still got whatever it was, colon cancer or something, and he passed away. Just withered to nothing. But he tried. Man has tried and tried and tried to live forever when the whole plan of God is for us to live eternal. We had to start living like this, but the whole plan, the whole knowledge of God is that we're going to live for an eternity. If you have the new birth today, you're definitely going to. You don't need a spaceship. You don't need to create something and get in it. No, you already got it. God gave it to you when he put it, your mom and daddy together, brought you, put a soul in there. You made a choice. God put his soul in. Now you're going to heaven. Now, that is too simple. No, by the way, we need to take vitamins. It's all right. I take vitamins. It's okay to take vitamins. Don't think it's not. It's good because you know what? This junk that we eat now don't have a lot of vitamins in it. All right? But we want to be like, everybody wants to be like, you know, we want to be like the children of Israel where it's quoted in, it's not in the Bible, but it's quoted in Jewish lore that there was no bathrooms in the 40-year journey because what they ate, which was manna, it became part of them, absorbed in their body, and they didn't have any waste. Well, that's okay. That's fine with me. But I promise you one thing. When Adam and Eve was in the Garden of Eden before the fall, they didn't need it either. What they ate was perfect. That's what we're going back to. We're going back to where we don't need a place that we need to have a restroom. Amen. We don't need to have a place where we think we need a tissue to blow our nose and all that stuff. I was thinking the other day, if you just really just sit down and wrote what we're not going to need when we get to heaven. Try that. I know me and mom have sinus problems, and I thought, praise God, I don't have to feel like I got a lump sticking in my throat 99% of the time. And I don't have to wake up hacking every time. I don't have to even wake up. So we can just do away with that. Nothing to do with sleep, so we can do away with that. Nothing to do with work, we can do away with that. Nothing to do with finances. Sorry, Brother John. We don't have anything to do with that. But the Bible says build up your treasure, what? Not here, but in heaven. And I sure appreciate what he's doing, too, because we really do need to be good stewards of our money. Regardless of whether we have it or not, God give it to us, and we need to be good stewards of what any we. You know, the lady with the two mites, she was a good steward of what she had. She had two mites. She didn't have nothing. She had two mites. She gave it all to God, but she did have two mites. And it's a good story to see that. And that Brother John would bring it to us, and we sure do appreciate him standing in and doing it. He could do it more often if he wanted to. Isaiah 28, verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Who? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. So who's he going to teach knowledge, babies? Not so much. I was talking to some people at work the other day, and their baby was a year old, first Christmas, you know. Well, what are we going to get them? I said, it don't matter. They ain't going to know it. I said, for the first five years, buy your kids gifts. Don't throw them away. Buy them for Christmas. Then when they turn six, take their toy box and turn it upside down and take them same thing and give it to them, and they'll think it's just a brand new toy. Jonas is like, no. But that's the way we are, though. See, we become smart. We become intelligent. I don't want that. I want the intelligence of God. I want this what Isaiah said. Whom? Whom shall he teach knowledge? Me. And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Me. Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Isaiah 53:10. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Think about a man that never went to school. He shows up in the Sea of Galilee, and he shows up in the Nazareth, and he shows up over here. You know, like Brother Brown said, he don't have a school of divinity. He don't have all these degrees. And he shows up, and they say something to him, and he just, the Bible says he says things, and they don't have nothing else to say back to him. He confounds the scholars. Even at 13 years old, they were what? They were confounded by the things that he said even at 13 years old. Why? Because he was God Almighty in human flesh. But you and I should have the same thing in our mind. Bible tells us. What do? We study. We're gonna go to court tomorrow. We got to study. We got to go do. The Bible tells you not even to study. Right? Go, and I'll put in your mouth. Boy, how many of us want to depend on that? Don't raise your hand because you ain't to the point yet, neither am I. I want to study these things out. I want to figure out what I'm talking about. No, God said don't do that. Because you know what we do? We figure things out our way. That's why I'll read you a scripture in a few minutes where the Lord Jesus said, lean not on your own understanding. Lean not to your own understanding, but use the what? The knowledge of God. This part of knowledge to me is so very important. It's right down there at the bottom. It's really wide. You and I have got to come to a knowledge of the truth. Not just like they come to a knowledge of the truth and say, well, that's false. We become that knowledge of that truth. Because we're going to see in just a few minutes that God is going to put a spirit of wisdom in the church. Not in the world. He's going to put a spirit of wisdom in the church through apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. That's just the way I see it. Deacons, elders, and different ones. That he's going to give us knowledge. Everybody wants all these different gifts. There is a gift of knowledge. All right? By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify me, for he shall bear my iniquities. Now, we talked about this morning. We don't have to pull the chart up. We'll get through this real quick because I believe everybody understands what sanctification is. That's what's happening now. We are by the word of God. We are going to see that we get that spirit realm is swept and garnished. That spirit realm is where the unclean spirit is being able to try to move in, because he can't get your soul if you're born again. If he can't get your soul, he's going to try and fight and fight and fight to get back in where he was at. But you know what? We're going to fight, 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 and not let him back in. All right? So sanctification is clean and set aside for service. And remember, when you look at sanctification, that is signified by what? Red. So it's pretty bloody. It's not just real clean something. It's sanctification is the red. What? What cleans you? The blood of Jesus Christ is what cleans you up and keeps you clean. All right, so it's a messy thing, and it is to all of us. I hope we see that we're going through that process again. Lord, tear the rest of the things out. Lord, come into my house and not just put a new door in with a doorknob on both sides where he can get in when he wants to. But come on into my living room. Come on into my kitchen. Come on into my bedroom. Tell me what needs to be cleaned out. Get in the corners. Get in the crevices. Do like that woman that lost her beads. You know, during that time in the old country, they would wear beads and it would signify different things. Well, if you lost one of them, it was either you were a prostitute or you lost your husband. Well, she lost, remember, one of her little medallions. And she searched the whole place and finally found it. I don't believe she'd have said, oh, I ain't worried about it. I'll go to church when I need to. I'm sorry, go to church when I want to. No, she went in every crook and cranny, every place she looked for that coin. And you know what? She found it. And she put that thing back on to restore her back. You and I, listen, we're going to fall. We're going to fail. We're going to do wrong. But let's pray to God that our doing wrong is not so close together. Right? Yeah, I mean, you know, if you keep doing the same thing, what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. No, you're going to get the same result every time. Amen? And the worst thing you can do is to separate yourself. If you're having trouble, don't separate yourself from church folks, from believers. Right. Don't do that. You cannot and will not. You will always fail. We are sheep. We're herd animals. We need to be together. We need to be able to cry on each other's shoulder and say, did you go through this? Like, yes, I went through that. And this is what I did. This is what God did for me to help me in this journey. All right? Listen, folks, we don't need to keep our secrets to ourselves. We need to tell others. Brother Bram said, tell how your fire got lit, right? If you can't do anything, testify to somebody. Hey, I used to be a drunk. I used to be smoking a lot, Brother Donnie, different ones. I used to smoke. I couldn't help myself. Well, that's right. You didn't help yourself. You let God help yourself. When you let God help yourself, you quit doing the things that you used to do. Amen? But what is this whole thing? This whole, all these verses is summed up in this one quote Brother Brown said right here. Being obedient to what God said. It's what brought the power. It's what's going to bring you power. What brought virtue is obedience to the word of God. And remember, obedience is better than sacrifice. Oh, you know, like I said about the brother that said, well, I'm just going to work on Sundays. And that whole Sunday, that whole day, I'm going to work and get triple time. And, oh, it's going to be hundreds of dollars. And I'm going to give it all to the mission field. Well, he did not succeed very long in doing that. He actually quit the church for a while and got in some bad shape, and he's doing better now because, you know what? He changed his mind. Well, I hope God's the one that changed his mind. But he's now coming back to church, and I hope he doesn't do that anymore because that wasn't from God. But now, it sounded good. Now, did it not? It sounded good. Hey, if I work Sunday, you can just see somebody, you know, the devil sitting on your shoulder. Said, yeah, don't worry about going to church. If you'll get paid triple time because a lot of places pay, you know, time and a half for overtime and double time for Sunday work. So they get paid double. And then I'll just give it all to missions. That ain't what God wants. That's not what he said to do. Because if you put God first and all these other things, if he said that on Saturday, maybe, that wouldn't be too bad. But everybody likes to put it on Sunday. Well, I'll do it on Sunday. Well, I'm going to have my kid party on Sunday. It won't matter. I'm not going there. Second poll. Laodicea and church age. According to Malachi 4, he'll turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. I want to reiterate, this is the stage that we're all in right now. Doesn't matter where you at in God. We all had to start realizing we were lost, and that the Son of God, the new birth, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, comes into our soul. And then he starts working his way up that statue of perfect man. And we're going to read this in a minute. I didn't bring it out this morning because I was trying to fly through it and get to it. But that tutor is the Holy Ghost. And he's there to what? Train you. By giving you Holy Ghost-filled preachers, by giving you the prophet of God, and giving you access to the message of the hour, and listen to these brothers preach, that's your tutor. Sure, you've got the Holy Ghost. It's inside of you. But it's got to say, Brother Brown said, it's got to say amen to every word. Right. Not just a few, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So that statue of a perfect man is to bring us to a place. It's just like we were talking about this downstairs. Brother John Porter's got a son. What's his name? Jeffrey. We met him at the wedding. And he's a big old tall guy, about that tall. I don't know where he got that from. And put your mom and dad together, he'd be that tall. But he was just a super nice guy, but you could tell he had a shell. He had something that was maybe like a little beef with something. Or, of course, he's a cop, but they have their own attitude. But still, you could tell that there was something that was not flowing good. You can tell when somebody's been hurt. Yeah. Am I okay? Lily, that's okay. I didn't mean to call his name, but anyway, pray for him. Brother John said pray for him. Because what happened was after that wedding, he came to John and he said, I thought all the people were like so-and-so. He had put every one of us in a bottle because he had been under a ministry that was total legalism and this and that and the other. And you'd know his name if I called it. He's passed on now. And that's okay. He played his part. But he instilled in the people so much of a hardness till it was hard to break that shell. But he said out of his own mouth that he had not met people like he had met at that. Did you know he said that? Yeah. Your dad called me and told me the day afterwards, and I'm gonna share it with you because I want you to pray for the brother. Because you know what? That's God softening him up. You and I all, if you're not born again, you've got a hard shell. You're hard shell. But what did I tell you sermons ago in Ezekiel? Brother Brown said he gives you a new heart, and then he gives you a new spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's the spirit to soften up your heart. That's where you can get along with yourself. He does not get along with himself. He does not get along with himself. You could tell it. There was something. I mean, he was nice and cordial, but there was some little something that I knew that maybe he was, I thought maybe he had had an incident in his past life, which he did, but it was with meeting message believers that were just really hard, and they were always legalistic and always saying stuff bad about people. And then he met all of us. And I'm talking about all of us and everybody that was there that were believers. And he said, I'd never seen that before in a group of people. So see your life. You go somewhere in life and you think, man, I'm nothing. There ain't nothing going on in my life. There ain't nothing. I mean, I think I'll go to that wedding. So we'll go to the wedding. Okay, we'll go to the wedding. So you go to the wedding, you have a good time. Just be yourself. All right? Be the Holy Ghost you are. And let that Holy Ghost, what? Proceed out. And then you go back home, though, and somebody calls you like Brother John and says, hey, I want to thank you people. Well, he told me, but I don't know if you want to keep me secret or not, but it's not now, so here we go. He never said, don't tell nobody. But he did say this morning, he said, keep praying for him because he's on his way to heading toward getting softer. Because he had a real hard shell. Yeah, well, you know why? Because of your life. And I'm going to say this, whether you like it or not. You can't stay home and let your light shine. You can't stay home and let your light shine. You got to get out and let people see your light. So go to weddings. Go to funerals. Go to. Nobody's ever said anything wrong about going to birthday parties and things like that. You ought to go. Family reunions, you ought to go. Why? That right there may happen. To where one or two of you said one thing to this guy you've never seen a day in his life, which I hadn't either, and speak to him, and then all of a sudden something inside of him says, hey, there is a real. Yeah. There's something besides what I've been dealing with during my young life. And then Brother John said, really pray for him. So we're going to pray for him and that the Lord will soften him up a little bit more. Now, sometimes the Lord softens you up a different way than that. He lets you go through a lot of stuff. But somewhere in that journey, though, somewhere you're going to meet somebody. You're going to meet somebody, and they're going to portray Christ, and you're going to say, wow. So that's what I've been missing. That everybody's not in this certain mold, and we go through this certain tunnel, and we're message people, and you know, we're all like this. No, we're different people. But we all have the Holy Ghost that's born again, and we can portray that. And when the people really see the Holy Ghost, it has to lead them to something. If there's anything in your brother, it's got to lead him to that. But now he had to see that first. And he did. I hope he did. I'm praying he did. Listen, when somebody, when I say, well, I hope, but when somebody that's been that way comes and tells their dad, your dad, comes and tells them, hey, I had never met a people like that before. They were really genuine people. They didn't judge me for who I am. They didn't judge me for my wife or for all these different things. They took me as what I was. Well, guess what? Then God took that little crack and he shined a light through it. And when he shined a light through that crack, it opened up his life. And then we're praying now that God will give him a new heart, give him a new spirit, give him something, soften him up some. And you know what? It'll produce life. So I'm expecting to hear something from that story. What are you saying, Brother Wade? Well, that's you, the statue of perfect man. We walked. I don't say it wasn't me. It was a collective body of believers that were there, that each one of us were helping. Each one of us were doing things. I mean, it was a wedding for them. We weren't there for that wedding. We were there for your brother. Y'all were going to get married anyway, whether we were there or not. But your brother was not going to get anything if we weren't there. You ever thought about that? Sometimes we go to places and say, well, we're just going to go. You're going for a purpose. The footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. Amen? Where you walk. But that's what we're under now. We're under this. We'll talk about the spirit of wisdom. But I believe the spirit of wisdom, Brother Bam talks about coming back into the church. The spirit of wisdom to do what? To help us and lead us and guide us and to make us what? A powerhouse. That powerhouse I was talking about is that statue of a perfect man, all of the virtues working in our life. And you know what? We weren't blackbirds that stuck peacock feathers, because I'll promise you one thing. If somebody's been hurt or if somebody's had a bad experience with message believers, they know if you're sticking feathers in you and you're some kind of a fool or some kind of somebody that's trying to hide something. Even though they don't have discernment of the Holy Ghost, they got enough discernment in their life to know whether you're putting on or not. And he knew we weren't putting on. And that was what impressed him more than anything else. So, sorry we weren't there for your wedding. We were there, for your brother. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Y'all can say what you want to about me. I won't ever soul I know saved. Amen. I won't ever soul. And I'm sorry if I'm so passionate that I step on your toes or step on somebody else's toes. I want them, I told the Lord last night, I said, I want them not just filled with the Holy Ghost. I want them put in action. Amen. I want to not have to. Yeah, clap. We got enough problems it is, but more filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on. And how that we can handle each other, handle brotherly kindness, handle patience, be patient with each other. We haven't even got there yet. But we got to have knowledge to know what's right and what's wrong. Now listen, there's a knowledge out in the world to know right and wrong. Amen. Right? I mean, but now remember, that's getting real foggy now. The line between right and wrong in the world is getting real foggy because what the world calls right, we consider wrong. Amen? And then their right and wrong is not very far apart because they can do pretty much what they want to do and still say they're Christian in that world. All right? But we know better. Why do we know better? Because we don't just have a knowledge of the truth. We are the truth. Have you ever thought about that? We're the truth of this world. There's no one else has truth but this bride of Jesus Christ. We're the only people with truth. So that's what we're living under now. We're living under this manifestation of the Holy Ghost, or the tutor being in the church teaching us just how to be good Christians. How to be a light to shine. If you go through Walmart and the other days, and I usually if somebody, you know, if we open the door for somebody, I'll say, well, you know, have a good day. But there was this one lady, I opened the door. She was a younger lady. I opened the door for her, and I said, God bless you. It just came out. And, you know, boy, sometimes you don't have to go to the chiropractor after that. How many people have ever said God bless them? People don't do that. They do the other stuff. But we do that. But see, they're not expecting the world to do that. They're expecting the world most of the time not even open the door for you. But we open the door and say, God bless you. And mean it. Mean it. Have a good day. Told a waitress the other day, said, God bless you. You just have a good day. We appreciate what you've done. I mean, we sat there for 2 or 3 hours in her booth. So we gave her a good tip and told her, thanks for your patience, you know. So we try to do that. You say, well, that don't mean nothing to them. You don't know that. How many of you knew that her brother needed some help? Not one of you. We all walked through there oblivious. It was all Lily and Zach. Lily and Zach. Lily and Zach. One more time. Lily and Zach. Everything was Lily and Zach. Lily, come over here. Zach, come over here. When there was a soul standing there that was watching everything we did and was impressed with the attitude that we took toward all that and how we helped and washed all 300 of those goblets of Janet's. All right, I need some more temperance and patience. I'm sorry. But June started washing them things, and I thought, how in the world could one person accumulate that many? And I thought, Janet could. And she did. You took them all home, put them up? They had a place in your house somewhere, didn't they? In the living room. Okay. All right, that's a good place to put goblets. But what am I trying to say? You may think you're just absolutely nothing and nothing's going on in your life. And then you have somebody come up to you just out of the blue. Like Brother John called me the next day. He said, man, y'all made an impression on my son. I said, what do you mean, y'all? He said, oh, y'all helping. And what Janet did, boy, she did a great job. And then Julie helped. June, all Anna, I mean, different ones helped that were there. And it was just a unit working together. Wasn't anybody fussing or complaining, except about the goblets. And they were all different. How do you do that? You know, it had been 300 of the same thing, but it was 300 different cups. Anyway, and Richard would have enjoyed taking communion out of them because they were big ones. But somebody was watching us. Think about that. And I'm going to say one more time, Rachel, did you know that? Did you know there was somebody watching? There was somebody watching you. Different ones who were there working. Different ones who were doing things in the wedding. Because we were there for Lily and Zach. But we weren't. What a story. To me, that just make a whole sermon right there. It's just we walked among them. And they noticed that we were different. And there was no flag. You know, I'm watching y'all. I'm watching you. No, he was watching. Never said a word. He was watching. And they're telling how many others we didn't get, you know, we didn't get something from anybody else. It just happened to be Lily's brother. But you don't know. And I'll promise you one thing, young kids, young adults, and old people, people watching us. People watching every move you make. And we do make mistakes, and we do sometimes do things that are a little bit different. But remember, God's watch. And then the people are looking at you wanting to see God inside of you. Amen? So you just remember that. But now that what's going to be with the third pool, you got to come up a little bit higher to where it's a revelation of the mystery that's never been told to man ever before. Because the statue of perfect man has been told. The statue of perfect man is plainly in 2 Peter. Peter says, add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, that you'll get this divine nature of God. And all these things need to be working in a Christian life. Yeah, but now when you come to this third pool or the opening, the mystery truths of the seven thunders, which is the seven seals, then that comes up to the Son of Man, which we're going to get to a little bit later, or the chief headstone, which he started as a cornerstone, but he will be now the one that will cap this whole thing off, that will sit down on top of you and be God on earth in his fullness, in the bride, not in one person, in the bride. Now, he chose that. We didn't. He chose to bring it that way. What's he going to do? Bring back the church to the word. Because you see Brother Branham, he's standing there, and he's got every denomination standing in front of him. And he's trying to preach to bring the church back to the word of God. One word, one faith, one Lord, one baptism. And you got a baptism sitting over here. You got Seventh-day Adventist over here. You got Jehovah's Witness over here because he calls them all out, right? And you got all those things, but to bring back the message or the word of God, and then that becomes power because what? Power without character is satanic. What happened was they had the power in the first church age. second and third. But when you got to the fourth, fifth, sixth church age, and then even this church age is supposed to be everything, the resurrection, coming back, bringing back the word of God. The prophet of God said it was dark. The Bible said it was the darkest time ever to man. Is this time right here. Why? Because the world's in gross darkness. Bad darkness. But this messenger, what is he to do? Restore back the original faith, the resurrection faith. And that's what we want. We want that part of resurrection faith. All right? He'll take the message of Pentecost to turn the children to the faith of the fathers. Listen, there's a difference in a child and a father. Now, one day that child that mom and dad had became a father. Because of what? Period of time. Because of learning. Because of maturity. That's the same way with me and you. It doesn't matter if we become babies. We just don't need to stay babies. We need to mature and become fathers. Because he'll rebuke them because they didn't keep this same faith that was back at the beginning. That's why the prophet of God said that messenger would tie up loose ends or loose doctrines that was preached between the fourth age, fifth age, sixth age. Man had diluted this word of God to where it was what? I can speak in tongues and get the Holy Ghost and that's it. I can be on church on Saturday and that's it. Even the Seventh-day Adventists will still tell you that the mark of the beast is having church on Sunday. I'll take it. I'm going to take Sunday. Okay, you can take Saturday all you want to. Sunday's the day we worship the resurrection. But it took Elijah to do what? To tell us, though, that that's wrong. So leave that alone. Seventh-day Adventist is not going to take a resurrection. There'll be some that'll be in a resurrection, but they'll not cause a resurrection. The Pentecostals will not cause a resurrection. The Baptists will not cause. They will be in the resurrection, but it will take a group of people that our hearts, our soul, has been turned back to the faith of the fathers. What? Knowing that this message is it. This message is right. This message doesn't have any discrepancies in it. It's God's word to me and you through the mouth of a prophet, because he turned it back to the faith of the fathers. Because remember, John the Baptist turned from the Old Testament to the new message. Read it right there. The new message that Jesus came out with is what? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. You must be born again. They didn't hear that in the Old Testament. But it took John. Now, the next spirit of Elijah came to Brother Branham and turned those hearts of the babies back to the Pentecostal fathers. What? So God can work. And so this can be fulfilled. And here's the one I was reading this morning, but I'm going to read it like this. And I will restore to you, not to the world. He'll restore to you the years that the locusts eat. Cankerworm. Listen, it's eat this message down. And a lot of people, let's eat the effects of this message. It's not going to eat the message. It's going to eat the effects of this message to the people. It so eroded it and convoluted it and made it all milky. And, well, maybe Brother Brown was wrong here. And maybe there wasn't 12 people fell off of this. And maybe that was a rocket. And maybe that. So what were they doing? They were pulling it apart again. But I want to tell you, I'm part of that. I will restore. Because he's restoring it back to me, the faith of the fathers. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. How are you going to eat in a tree that ain't nothing but a stump? Can you? No. You got to have a full mature tree that's got apples or whatever on the end of the vine. And praise the name of the Lord your God that he hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Folks, I don't want you ever be ashamed of this gospel. Don't you ever be ashamed of this message. There's something inside of you that should keep you from being ashamed of this message. Amen? Amen. So let's go to this adoption real quick. Go by it real fast. Because remember, everybody understands. We've been taught, Brother Dale's taught us for years and years and years on adoption. A lot of people don't teach on adoption. You know why? Because they don't understand it. But it's really, really simple. You start out as a newborn babe in Christ. You're part of the family of God. But you're not going to get the car keys, or you're not going to get the checkbook to the $10 million business that your daddy owns. All right, You're going to do like Dave said. You're going to clean toilets first. You're going to learn how where the bathrooms are at. Not where they're at, how to clean them. Well, then that's what God is. God's the same way. We're babies. He cries. We give him. He gives us stuff. But then we come up to a place where he says, hey, grow up. Quit crying. As soon as the boy was born, he was the son of that family. The father loved him. Listen, if he gave you the new birth, he loved you. He loved you. But do you love him back the way that he loves you? Because to love him back is to do this. To love him back, to show your love. Well, I just love the Lord. Well, if you love him, he said, what do you do? You'll keep my commandments. What is my commandments? Right there. That's your commandments. It's to live Jesus Christ. The Father loved him. Then you get over in Galatians, talk about tutors. So then the Father had so much work to do over in the whole kingdom, he placed a tutor. Now that's the Holy Ghost to me and you. The tutor is, the teacher is the Holy Ghost. Now, but you've got to be, you can't, you say, well, then I can make it on my own. No, you can't. That tutor has to teach you through a fivefold ministry according to the Bible. All right, so according to the Bible, you got to have a teacher. Anyone who knows that was the Old Testament rule, a tutor. Paul speaks about the law being just a tutor to bring us to Christ. Or an educator. So it brought us to Christ, and then what to do? The Holy Ghost inside of us teaches us and guide, leads us and guides us into all truth. But yet the Father didn't know what to do with him, or he would be, or what he would be when he grew up. Now listen, our Father does know what we're going to be. We just don't know it. That's why we got to strive to be better. We got to strive to do the things of God. But yet the Father didn't know what to do with him, or what he would be when he grew up. Then he keeps going on, talking about, if I'm wrong, correct me. What happened when to the full gospel church? You know, what's he telling them? He's telling them, look, you guys had the Holy Ghost. You had the Holy Ghost. You still got the Holy Ghost. You became sons and daughters of God, but you didn't move on up with God. You stayed right there. You did, look, in other words, you became malnourished. You decided that milk's all I'm going to drink. They come sons. And the Holy Ghost is the tutor to raise them in the admonition of God. Now, as the tutor had been watching the children, the church has been progressing, coming up. They've seen the age of birth, born again. That's right, correct. You're just as much a son as you ever will be when you're born again. But the tutor bringing the word to the father. Then if the father, the tutor came to the father and the boy become about age of where the church ought to be now, comes of age, brightens up, brightened up, seasoned. According to time when the boy became of age, the tutor came to the father. And what did he say? He said, hey, this guy's worthy. This son, see the boy being a son already. But yet if he wasn't a worthy son, the father couldn't adopt him or place him in his own family. He couldn't do it because the boy would run through what he had. He was restless. He didn't have the ability to carry on the father's work. So the father just let him go on being a son. He already was a son. But if he was a fine son, he was about his father's business, and the tutor brought word to the father saying that the son is fine. He's eligible. He's all right. Then the father took the son out into public place as a public testimony, and he put a special robe on him and set him up before the people. What was he doing? He was giving him authority. He gave him authority with God. He wants to give you authority. Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'll mess up. You get these virtues and you won't mess up. That's what he wants. Y'all don't leave the building on me, okay? And the father, by doing this, give the son the authority over his kingdom, over his business, and so forth. The son had a right to go out and do certain things in the kingdom with the same kind of authority that his father had. Wow. Now let's talk for a minute about, we know what virtue is. It's strength and power. That's the first thing we got to have is virtue. We've got to have strength and power. Because listen, when we get on down a little bit further, what does the world say about knowledge? The world says knowledge is power. Reading. I used to read a lot. Knowledge is power. But you know what? That knowledge created an atomic bomb one time that kills 200 and some thousand people. Right? And we use it for electricity now, and if it ever blows up, we're in big trouble again. Chernobyl, Three Mile Island, all the different things. We think we've got everything figured out, and then we miss something because we're human. All right? Now, listen, God don't miss something. You've got to realize today that he equips you and powers you for what you need. And you got to believe that. Even though you have kinks in your armor, even though you do have things in your life that you got to overcome. If you just keep striving, you'll overcome them. You have to. It's just sometimes we quit. We stop. We get to a point and we go, can't do it anymore. Well, if you're a son and daughter of God, you will do it. If you're not, you never was. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. The crowning effect of Jesus Christ coming out of the grave is me and you bringing others out of the grave. Think about that. When Jesus came out of the grave, he said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. And what did he tell him? He said, you go wait to be endued with what? The power I have. Right? You go wait in Jerusalem to be endued with power that I have from on high, because I'm coming back. I'm not coming back in flesh. I'm coming back in a spirit form, and I'm going to enter you, and you are going to be my bride. You're going to be somebody that I'm going to work through. The only way Jesus Christ got known around the world was by Holy Ghost-filled people. Because I'll promise you, the devil's kids didn't want to have nothing to do with it. All right? But a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. But she that maketh ashamed is rottenness in his bone. That's why that you look at the Nicolaitan spirit that Jesus told him and said, you've lost your first love. He said, but there's one thing I got with you. I'm with you on this. I hate the Nicolaitan spirit. I hate you conquering the laity. All right? Now, to conquer the laity, what do you got to have? You got to have preachers that conquer first. Right. Satan has conquered preachers to preach the wrong message of the hour, to preach false doctrine, and then guess what? He's got you when he's got the ministry. Amen? Right. That's why we believe that the truth is the truth. And then when we live in the truth and abide by the truth, God's got to come on the scene and help us. Amen. All right, so let's look at knowledge real quick. 2 Peter 1, verse 5. And being, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. Knowledge in the Greek means gnosis, or science, or knowledge signifies in general intelligence, understanding. General knowledge of Christian religion, the deeper, more perfect, and enlarged knowledge of this religion. Such as belonging to the more advanced. Why would it say that? Why would it say that? Because you can have knowledge that 1 + 1 = 2, but that's not going to help you later on in life. Such belongs to the more advanced, especially of things lawful and unlawful for Christians. Moral wisdom, such as is seen in right living. You see what that's been eroded. Moral living is now, it doesn't matter, you can be divorced 3 or 4 times. You can be this, you can be that. You can do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Well, you ain't perfect, neither am I. You hear that all the time. Jesus said, be therefore perfect. So I'm going to kind of let him handle that. All right? So we look at the two trees, the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. Whom shall teach? He teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. It's not bad to be babies. It's bad to stay babies. Now watch this knowledge real quick. We'll close right here. The fact or condition of knowing something, look, with familiarity. That's the key. You can know today how to build an atomic bomb. That ain't got one thing to do with your Christian life. Well, I know how to. That's okay. Do you know how to rightly divide the word of truth? Are you familiar with what's being preached? Are you familiar with the voice of the seventh angel? Are you familiar with the voice of God? To know that it's the voice of God, not the voice of the other guy. The fact or condition of knowing something with familiarity gained through experience or association. I want to be guilty of being Jesus Christ by association. Let us be found worthy. Let us not be found in the alley. Let us be found worthy. The fact or condition of being aware of something. Are you aware that this is the truth? Huh? Are you aware of that? That this is the truth, not a truth. It's not part of it. I don't disclude nobody, but God told us what to do. He told us what was right and what was wrong. Listen, he knew what Adam and Eve was going to do, but he had to give them a choice. He had to let them go on free moral agency, but he knew what they were going to do. As soon as he made the devil, he knew what the devil was going to do, but he did it anyway. He did it to prove that he was God and that all this is going to evolve into living in me and you. Every bit of this, all from beginning of time to right now. Let's look at this one right here. The circumstance or condition of apprehending truth are facts, the reasoning. You say, oh, reasoning. The Bible says, come, let us reason together. That your sins be not, what? Scarlet, but they be white as snow. Listen to what Brother Brown said right here, and then we'll close. Some of y'all have already checked out. And then thirdly, you add knowledge. Knowledge, now that don't mean worldly knowledge, because that's foolishness to God. But knowledge to judge. Judge what? Right from wrong. You know, the Bible tells us, and we'll get into it later on, where the Bible tells us that we'll judge angels. That when you read in Revelations, that when you see those thrones, you're sitting on them. You, the person of you, are sitting on those thrones judging the world. That's why the Bible says, look, brothers should never take a brother to court. That's almost blasphemous to do that. That's two greedy people is what it is. Amen? I'm just telling you what the Bible said, folks. The Bible said, do not take a brother to court. In other words, what do you do? Bring it right here. Let's work it out. How many of you brought your problems in here and worked it out with Brother Dale? I didn't think so. Because that's foolishness to God. But knowledge to judge. Judge what? Right from wrong. How do you judge it then if you got Christian knowledge with your virtue and faith? You judge whether the word is right or wrong. And if you can lay aside all your creeds, all your unbelief, everything that you claim you've done, see, claim you've done, then you have knowledge to believe that God cannot lie. See, now you're getting knowledge. That's supreme knowledge. You don't have to have 4 degrees in some college or something like that to have it, because all these virtues are given to you by God to place upon the foundation of your faith that you might come to the full stature of a real, living man of God. Now, when you get to that, add that to your faith. When you get true virtue, then add it to your faith. When you can walk out here on the street, live like a Christian, act like a Christian. That was my whole point that we had just a few minutes ago. All right? Be a Christian. Add that to your faith. When you have knowledge, you say, well, I don't know whether the scripture is right or not. Now, here's Acts 2:38. I don't know how to go about it with Acts 28:19. I don't know. All right. Don't add nothing because you ain't got it yet. What you going to do? Because you haven't got knowledge enough to know of God yet that the Bible doesn't contradict itself. Leave it alone. Don't say no more about it, see? Leave it alone. And I wanted to interject right there where Brother Brown told him on the sixth seal, he said, it's gone from you. It's not for you. Right? See, leave it alone. In other words, what's happened to man between then and now, they've made the seven thunders seven people. They've made it seven virtues. They've made the seals polygamy. They've made this, that, and this. Why? They didn't leave it alone. They didn't let the spirit of wisdom, which we'll talk about next week. We'll stop right here. Leave it alone. Don't try to push God. Now, it's good to strive to be better, but don't push God, because remember, he's got a time. And if this is the time, if you, like Brother Brown said, he said, you see these scrap heaps of ministers that have went out beyond God's program. Right. All right? They were true ministers. If they'd have waited, year after year, waited. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to the tapes, the books. Listen to good ministers. But what do we want to do? We want to be the popular guy. We want to be, I've seen this more often than anything, is, you know, Brother Brown said money, women, and popularity is three things that'll destroy a minister. Popularity, to me, I can see that more than all the other two, is popularity. Everybody wants to be top of the heap. And if they didn't get that revelation, you sure didn't get it. Because I'm supposed to get it. I'm supposed to get it first. Don't tell me you got it. I got it. I'm supposed to get it first. We've heard that before. But when you can see, that the scripture is not contradictory, that you can say that, can see that by the revelation of God, the whole word is wrote in mysteries. And only the knowledge of God can reveal it. Only the knowledge of God can reveal it. Then when you get and say, punctuate every word of God with an amen, then add that to your faith. Let's stand. Brother Brown prays, and he says, in the statue of perfect man, at the very end, he says, look, he's praying. He says, build me up, O Lord, into this. Let Christ be my head that works through me, that working through me. On my foundation, my faith is in him. Let virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness work in me, O Lord, is my prayer. I don't care, live or die, sink or drown. Denomination, no denomination. Friend or no friend, let that work in me. Let Christ's virtue, his knowledge flow out, then I may be able to teach those. There's nobody in this generation spoke the truth of knowledge like Brother Brown did. And he had a seventh grade education. He taught like we did. Aints and totes and carries and taters and maters. But he spoke the word of God, because he had knowledge of the truth. Look, but flow out that I might be able to teach those. For God has said in the church, apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists, all for the perfecting and bringing all these virtues into it, for that perfection of the coming of the Son of God. Each one of these stones are a material off of that one. This is material of this. Each one of these virtues belonging to him, and they're pouring out of him down through them. Down through them. Not just me, Brother Dale, the ministers, no, laity. Because it's not going to work unless it works in the bride. And we'll talk about it Sunday. We'll talk about the spirit of wisdom. Because look, Brother Brown tells us the spirit of wisdom comes into the church to make known to the church by the revelation of the Holy Ghost. Brings the church in and reveals what day you're living in. Just the same as Gabriel to Daniel, the Holy Spirit comes to the church in the last days to reveal these great, deep, secret things. Do you understand now? Musicians, come. Do you understand now? Because where's the spirit of wisdom coming from? Spirit of wisdom comes from the Spirit of the Lord. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord. That's why that the Bible tells us not to take a brother to court. There ought to be enough knowledge in this building to handle every situation that needs to be handled. And not have to take somebody to court. Now listen, there's a difference in that. Brother Dale told us this a long, long time ago. There's a difference in somebody doing you wrong that's out there in the world. Because he's going to go get a lawyer. He don't know no different. So you need to get one. But now somebody that's a believer inside this building and you know, you think you've been slighted, or we need to work that out here. The problem is we tell everybody else but the people here. They get quiet when you start talking like that. I don't know what, sometimes they don't hear me or I don't. But we do. If we'll just be honest and look at each other and say, hey, I got a problem with you. Right? And we take it in Holy Ghost love. Because see, the spirit of wisdom is not going to move you unless you want to be moved. You can stay a baby. You can deny. You can say, and I know for a fact, I've heard people say, that's just too deep for me. Now, how in the world Can God write a Bible? How can my father and my mother do something to me that I don't understand? That'd be really something against them too. If they did something that they could, they did something that made it where I couldn't understand nothing. That's like telling your kid, as the Bible says, I want a fish, Daddy, and they give you a scorpion. I need some bread, Daddy, and they give you a rock. That's not what your father and mother's going to do. Your father and mother's going to give you the best. They're not going, now they have to keep things from you because obviously for human purposes. But just to make sure that they don't give you anything to further yourself in life, that's wrong. And God's not going to do that either. God's not going to write in this Bible and say, well, now, wait a minute, that's not for you. No, it's for us. You just got to make yourself available for it. Because I've heard some of you say, that's just too deep for me. I don't understand that. You know what? That's okay. But a baby will say that. But a mature, coming up from a teenager to a mature adult, you're learning. So you can't just, it's not going to be all poured into you at one time. Brother Luis Urrego will tell you for a fact. He came here. He had been working up in he got him a job down here with Joe and Brother Richard. And he was going to a church, and the brother's fine. I mean, everything's good. It's just that Luis was he had heard, you know, about Brother Dale. He had heard about, you know, the depth of the message, and it scared him to death. And we've had people do that. They'll walk in here, and 3 months later or 2 weeks later, they're gone. Stick around if you got the Holy Ghost. It's got to lead you into all truth. Luis said, I didn't understand nothing about what Brother Dale was talking about. He said, but I stayed, and I stayed, and I stayed. He said, I didn't get the Holy Ghost till I came to this church. Wow. Why? He sat under a ministry, and he sat there and kept sitting there. It's kind of like us, you know, we want to be baptized, but no, don't put me in the water. Just give me a little, you know, give me a little. No, I want to go. Immerse me. Kill me. That's what I want with the Word of God. I want it all or I don't want nothing. And that's what you ought to think. You ought to think the same thing. But you know what? Ask God. Say, God, I don't understand that man. That's a lot of people said that about Brother Branham. Lord, I don't understand what that man's saying. But you said you'd never leave us or forsake us. And if he moves on, that means he left us. No, it means you left him. Because when he moves, you move. Isn't that what Brother Brown says? When God moves, you move. He said, when you stand still, God's going to continue to move. So you are, hey, I'm my own worst enemy. We all are. If you don't understand something, you just keep praying and keep praying and keep praying. God's got to honor his word. He's got to honor what he's already said. He's got to adopt you. You say, no, yes, he does. If he makes you a child of his, then he's obligated. But are you obligating yourself? Are you keeping yourself open for the word of God? Are you shutting the door and say, I don't know about that. I don't. Say, Lord, I don't understand at the moment. But if you'll give me a little time, that's what Louis said. Lord, give me a little time. About 3 months later, he said, I started catching on. That was 3 months. That was pretty slow. But that was 3 months. He just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. He didn't stop. And God had to meet him somewhere. If you're a child of God, God has to meet you somewhere. He's got to. He's obligated to his own children. If you'll make yourself available. Say, God, take me somewhere. I want to know more about you. But you know what? I don't want to sit here and fight all the time. I want to have some real good days strung in a row. Amen? How many of y'all want that? A bunch of good days strung in a row. Yeah, we'll have a good one, and then, oh, we'll have a bad one. Then John, then we'll have another bad one. Then you might have one day's kind of medium. Then you got a bad one. Then all of a sudden you pop up and say, oh, I got a good day. No, I want to string them good days together. Because what's going to happen when we take a body change? All them good days are going to be strung together for an eternity. It's not going to be up and down. We don't even understand that. How would you understand living somewhere for an eternity and not having an up and down day? Ain't happening. That's why we got to have this thing. We've got to, before it happens, we got to believe it can happen. We got to believe that God's already given us provision for the down days and the up days. And he's God on the mountain. He's a God in the valley. Amen? It takes two mountains to make a valley. Amen? So we need to be on the top of the mountain twice than we are in the valley. But sometimes we let the devil throw us in a valley and throw us in another valley and just keep throwing us in the valley. Let's don't have ups and downs. Let's say, God, tomorrow I'm going to start new. I'm going to start fresh. Satan, you are on alert. Whatever you got to say, you're lying. I've heard this all my life. I'm not going to yield to it anymore. I'm going to be a new creation, a brand new man. You say, well, that's just power of positive thinking. Start there. Start there. And didn't Brother Brown say, I've read it to you many times, where he said a positive mental attitude to any word of God will bring it to pass. Positive mental attitude. A lot of those people got healed on that platform. He said a prostitute. You know what that is? A prostitute that's got all that, God forbid, all that in their mind of what their background is and what they're doing. All they did, they walked up there and Brother Brown said, you've got this, you got this, you got this. And inside they said, I don't know, I don't understand this, but I believe what he's saying. He said she'd get her healing where a Christian would walk up to the platform, a true born-again Christian, and then worry about everything and lose their healing. So a positive mental attitude will bring every promise of God to pass. Try that. Start with that, and I'll promise you, it'll move over into the next day's good. The next day's good. Even if it's bad, it's good. What do we consider bad? We don't consider what the world considers bad. I hope you don't. Well, I'm having a bad day. We all have bad days. I know that. But with God, I thought he had a bomb in Gilead, a bomb that you can't buy from Young Living, you can't buy it from Amway, you can't buy it from Avon. There's a bomb in Gilead that he'll wipe over that and smooth that thing out. And you know what? He'll make your day a lot brighter. Let's sing a song. God bless you. Let's have the knowledge of God. Up, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread from heaven, oh, feed me till I want no. Here's my cup, Lord. Fill it up and make me whole. Sing it to him. Oh, here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench. Do you have a thirsting in your soul? If you have a thirsty in your soul, man, fill it up with him. Oh, bread from heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, offering it up, Lord. Lit up and make me whole. Well, you know, sometimes our cup is a little, and a lot of it spills out. But if you'll notice and watch Sister Barbara when we sing this song, she makes a perfect cup. She throws her hands out like this, and she makes a cup like that. And that's, hey, pour it in. Pour it in. Give it to me. Give me a little angle where I can not miss any of it. And she holds that thing up, and I imagine a lot of times, Sister Barbara, you know what? It'll start filling up, and it'll just saturate your brain and your head and help you with your problems. You fill it up with everything else. You fill it up with Facebook. You fill it up with this. You fill it up with yakking and talking. You fill it up with letting the devil bother you. Let's let God do that now. Let's let him fill us up. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, Lord, fill it up and make me whole. You love the Lord? Here's my cup, Lord. Here's me. Here's my life. Here's my empty vessel. Isn't that what he wants? He wants empty vessels. He wants something he can fill up. Like I said before, we get filled up with everything else. Let's try to fill ourselves up with God. Let him fill our cup up. And when he does, it'll be all him and not the devil. Amen? Pray for Brother Aaron for Wednesday night. This coming up weekend will be regular service. I think we're voting on officers. Just pray for that. And just bless Aaron. He's probably back from Brother JT's, but Luis and Brother Bob, let's keep up with them. Keep praying for them. Keep praying that the Lord will use them in whatever they're doing and over there. And it'll help the young people that they'll understand how it is to live in another country and don't have all the fineries of life available to you every day. It'll help us all. I wish we could all do that because it'll change your life. It'll make you cherish more of what you got and not be so frivolous with what we have. Let's don't be frivolous with the Word of God. Let's don't let any of that spill out. If it does spill out, let it spill out to somebody like Lily's brother. Lord, if I overflow, help me to fill somebody else's cup up. Amen? Hey, we're people that we've got more than we think we've got. That's what I want you to understand. We think, oh, we don't have nothing. We don't have this. Again, you walked into a room to go to a wedding having no idea that somebody was watching you. You did your job. You were you. You did what you usually do. You help, and you do, and you talk, and you're nice to people. That's all you did. And you impacted somebody's life. To me, that's the greatest gift anybody can have, is to be able to give something and you don't know you give it. To not know one thing about giving it, but you give it. River, what are you doing? I mean, what, you know, bubbling up out of the ground? What are you doing? It's just something inside of me that keeps pushing up. Keeps pushing that water out. And then we were able to drink from it. Then the prophet was able to drink from it. And the dear Lord, we pray that the world will drink from it. Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for this day that you give us. We ask you, Lord, as we go home, Lord, that that we'll truly ask you, Lord, to fill our cup up. Over and over again, Lord, we're not going to exhaust you. We're not going to make you tired. Lord, we're going to be that powerhouse that you said through the prophet that we would be. Lord, a living, breathing instrumentality of God, the Word made flesh in the end time. Lord, just be with us on the highways. Bless the ones that are sick. Be with the wife, Lord, as her recovery, Lord, begins. Lord, we pray that you just touch each one, Sister Frieda, and all the different ones that are not here, Lord. We keep them on our heart, Lord, all the time. And we pray that we can all come back together, Lord, on Wednesday night and listen to what you have through Brother Aaron, Lord. And then as we continue on, Lord, Brother Darrell Ward coming in at the end of the month, Lord, we pray that you'd be with him. give him, Lord, something to give to the people and the young people there on Saturday, Father. I pray that you just bless each one. Forgive us of our sins. Take care of us, Lord, and lead us and guide us into all truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. Lord, come and quit.